All right, I want to talk to you this morning about your private life versus your public life. Our private life versus our public life out there. As Christians, I think our public life is so important because that's what everybody sees. And they're watching us, there's no doubt, you know, at work and your neighbors and so on, they're watching. You know, what does it mean to be a Christian? You know, you say you're a Christian, you go to that church, you know. So what does that mean? And they're constantly watching us because we represent Almighty God. And so how we live is extremely important because we live Him, because we represent Him. But let me tell you, I think one of the best testimonies that you and I can have is when nobody knows you're a Christian. Say, well, how can that be a testimony? Well, they don't know you're a Christian, but they're watching to see how you live and how you treat other people and your work ethic and the way you're serving others. And they're looking at that and they're saying, wow, you know, that's a great guy. Now, that's an amazing girl. And then down the line, they discover, oh, but he's a Christian. Oh, but he goes to that church, to Maranatha. I think when that happens, that's a great testimony. And so our public life, what people see on the outside, whether they know we're saved or not, that's extremely important. But let me tell you what's even more important. Not what people see on the outside, not our public life, our private life. What happens deep down in here. The part of our lives that nobody sees except me and God. Nobody else knows. Not even my wife knows what's happening deep down on the inside. That's more important than our public life. Why do I say so? Because what happens in here is going to determine what happens out there, all right? My public life flows from my private life, from deep down on the inside. And so if I had to ask you this morning, which one do you think we're more aware of? Is it your public life or your private life? I think it's our public life because we're so busy with everything happening in our lives and we're running around and we're doing this and we're doing that and the way we treat people and so on and our work life and all of that very often we're not even aware of what's happening deep down on the inside. But I trust that after this talk this morning, you and I are going to be far, far more aware of what's happening on the inside, our private life, that we won't just be aware of what's happening, but we'll actually guard, we'll protect, we'll watch what's happening on the inside, because that's what Scripture says here in Proverbs chapter 4. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guard your heart. What is he saying? Your private life. Because everything, your public life flows from what's happening deep down on the inside. You know, it's so easy for you and me to put on a show. You know, we can dress this up very nicely and bring it to church. You know, and if you're a lady, you can hang some jewelry on it and make it, you know, put makeup on and make it smell nice and everything. And so it's easy for us to put on a show on the outside, you know, come to church and everything. But meanwhile, maybe the inside could be a mess. And nobody knows that. Nobody sees it because the outside looks so good. And so it's so easy for us to pretend. You see somebody outside. Hello, my friend. How you doing? You know, I've heard that before. You can sense that. I've heard that. My friend. And they walk away thinking, you stupid car. You know, I can't stand you. maybe a bit radical. But you see the difference. You know, we can put on the show on the outside, but meanwhile, you know, the inside is a mess. Can I ask you this question quickly? When you get really angry and upset, and please don't answer out loud, it's do you start shouting, swearing, you know, lose your temper a little bit? You say, no, Leonard, you know, I'm a Christian, you know, I go to Maranatha, you know. Well, good for you. All right, let me put it this way then. When you get really angry, do you use some bad words, maybe deep down the inside, where nobody can hear, but, you know, it's just, now and again, come on, you've got to be honest, because you're in church now, and I want lightning strikes here this morning, all right? So you say, now and again, be careful, because at some stage, that is going to slip out. And you can hide it, and you can protect it and suppress it. But from the abundance of the heart, Matthew 12, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so I have this agreement with our pastoral staff, and that's the top leadership of the church. So I've said to them, if I hear bad language come out of your mouth, I may ask you to step down, become a follower, let somebody else lead. Say, whoa, Leonard, that's quite harsh. That's quite radical. Not really. Because you see, if that stuff is coming out on the outside, it shows me it's even worse on the inside. And so I'm not asking them to hide it and to suppress it. I'm asking them to keep their inner life pure. Because when your inner life is pure, then your outer life will be pure. Can you see how important it is to keep our inner life pure, to keep it holy? I grew up in a home where I can honestly say I never, ever heard my dad use bad language, ever. And I better include my mom because she's sitting here in the second row. But I never heard that, ever, ever. And so it's possible to live like that. And so what am I asking the staff and myself to do? We live by a higher standard. And that shouldn't really only apply to leadership. It should apply to Christians, to Christ's ones, where I'm not raising the bar for you, but at some stage in your life, you need to raise the bar for yourself. And so our public life, what people see out there, that's our reputation with people, all right? But our private life, that's our reputation with God, because that's what God sees. And that's why David says, he says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, what happens deep down in here, he says, may it be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. You know, one of the things that Jesus just couldn't stand, he had a real problem with, is hypocrites. People who said one thing, but then they did another thing. And so when you and I do that, when we say one thing, we do another thing, man, it causes drama. Try it in your home. Say one thing to your spouse and then go and do another thing. Big drama. Try it with your boss and you'll see. Whenever we do say one thing, but we live another way, we do another thing, it causes drama. But somehow, when there's synergy between the two, between what we say and what we do, man, then there's peace. And that's when people look at our lives and they see us as real and authentic, because it's the same thing. You know, somehow when we pretend and we put on a show, people see it and they can see that there's something wrong and something is not right. Have you ever met somebody and walk away, and you can't quite put your finger on it, but something is not right here. Very often it's because what they say and what they do, their inner life and their outer life, there's a discrepancy between those two. Now, one thing we need to realize, if we're going to keep our inner life pure, it's going to take discipline. It doesn't come easy. Sin comes easy. And so you don't have to work very hard to get involved in sin. You don't have to be disciplined at all to be selfish and to think the wrong thoughts and to get angry and to walk around with a bit of pride and a bit of arrogance. And you don't have to try at all. That comes easy. And so you don't have to be disciplined, when it comes to sin and so on. You know, you just do what you feel like doing, all right? And so if somebody is rude to you, what do you feel like doing? Rude back to them, you know? Somebody cuts you off, or you want to just climb on the hood or something like that. That's what we feel like. That's what comes easy. If somebody hurts you, what do we feel like doing? Man, we want to be angry. And sometimes, you know, we don't feel like forgiving them. That comes easy. When you see a beautiful girl walk past, what do you feel like? For your mind to go in the wrong direction. That comes easy. You don't even have to try very hard. That comes easy. It's always easier to give in to the flesh, to go with that, than to be disciplined. But the Bible warns us. The Bible says if we give in to what's easy, if we give in to what we feel like, it leads to death. Let me read it to you. In Romans 8 verse 6, it says, letting your sinful nature control your mind, that's your inner life, your private life, leads to death. Not necessarily physical death, but it could be spiritual death. It could be death in a relationship or something like that, because you're giving in to the flesh, you're doing what you feel like doing, and suddenly you find that your relationships are in a mess. And so what Scripture is saying, when you give in to that, it leads to destruction. There'll always be destruction in your life. Now, I realize some people have the attitude, well, as long as nobody knows, then it doesn't hurt them. As long as nobody sees what I'm doing, then it doesn't hurt them. No. It may not hurt them, but it's hurting you. Because Jesus warns us. He says, man, if you even look lustfully at a woman, he's just using an example. So that's the stuff that happens in your heart. He says, if you just look at them lustfully, he says, you've already committed adultery, and it's like committing adultery. So what is he saying? He says, what happens on the inside matters. Whether other people see it or don't see it, it matters. Now let me just pause here quickly and say, we tend to think that lust is a male issue. Let me say to you, it's a human issue. It's not just a male issue. Because even though men are more likely to undress a woman in their minds, do you know studies show that there are women that do exactly the same? And it may not be as many as men, but they do exactly the same. And so for most women, you will find lust is less about desiring a man sexually and more about being desired sexually. Can I say it again? It's less about desiring a man sexually and more about being desired sexually. So all I'm saying is, don't look at the lust thing, ladies, and think this is a man issue. No. It's a human issue. We just deal with it slightly differently. Now, the problem with lust, as with any other sin, guess where it originates? In your private life. In your mind, or the Bible also calls it the heart. Listen to what it says in Matthew 15. From the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. And so it starts in the heart, or in the mind, but somehow it has a way of working itself out. So this is where it starts, deep down in here, in our heart, in our mind, And if you keep feeding that little monster, guess what happens? It grows. And eventually, that monster has got a way of working itself out. Can you see why it's so important to keep our inner life pure? Because if you can keep your heart pure, you can keep your walk pure. But when you're casual about your heart, guess what happens? You're casual, there's stuff in your private life that's not right. It's just a matter of time. You're either going to say the wrong thing or you're going to do the wrong thing. And it's going to land you in trouble or it's going to embarrass you. We've got to keep our inner life, keep that pure. 1 Peter chapter 1 says this, "So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control." Where do we need self-control? The area of our mind. Why do we need self-control in the area of our mind? Because that's where it all starts. That's what the Bible says. Now, here's what I want you to see. It's your private life, what happens in here, that determines God's blessing, not your public life. God doesn't look at what happens on the stage. The blessing on my life is not determined by what happens here. It's determined what happens back home when nobody sees, deep down on the inside. That's what determines His blessing. Because you and I, we look at this, we look at the stage, and we look at the public life. God doesn't look at that. God looks at the heart. Remember what God said to Samuel? God sends him to Jesse's house. God says, "I want you to go over there to go and anoint one of his sons." So Samuel goes over, knocks on the door, and Jesse's sons opens the door, and it's his eldest son, Eliab. And so as Samuel looks at him, he thinks, "Wow, this is the guy. I mean, just look at him. This has got to be the guy. He just looks like a leader, and he's dressed like a leader, and like, wow, and this is the guy." Let me read it to you quickly. Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, "Surely this is the Lord's anointed." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I've rejected him." The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. People judge publicly, but God looks privately. That's what He's saying. And so God's blessing doesn't come because of what you and I do in public where everybody can see. It's where nobody can see. That's where His blessing comes from. And so my question to you this morning is this. Do you want the approval of man, or do you want God's approval? Do you want people to applaud and to cheer you on, or do you want God to bless you? Do you want God to smile upon your life? Because when God smiles upon our private life, He blesses our public life. When He smiles upon our private life, when nobody else knows, nobody else can see, between me and God, when God's happy with that, that's when He blesses our public life. Wasn't this the main difference between Saul and David? I mean, Saul was impressive on the outside. David was impressive on the inside. Saul looked like a leader. Saul dressed like a leader. I think you could probably safely say he spent a lot of time in the gym. Because the Bible says he stood head and shoulders. Shoulders, why did it mention his shoulders? He stood head and shoulders above everybody else. He spent time in the gym. I think you could say David spent time in God's presence. Come on. You see the difference between the two of them? Massive difference. And so sometimes we are more concerned about our popularity with man. We're more concerned about what others think and say than what God is thinking and saying about us. And so our hearts need to be, I want to please God with everything in me. I want to please God. And I'll say again, when God smiles upon your private life, He blesses your public life. And that's why sometimes God will use somebody that you and I, we don't understand, but he doesn't look right. He doesn't even dress right. He doesn't talk right. And yet God is using him. Why? Because of his private life. Because God sees what's happening on the inside, just like David. And God is happy with his private life. And that's why God will use somebody like that, where you and I don't understand that. You know, some people want to serve God on the outside where everybody sees and everybody is clapping and applauding and you know, and we want to praise God and worship God when everybody else can see. But when we back home, that's in a mess. And then we wonder why God's blessing is not upon our lives. Because God says that we need to love the Lord our God. What does it say? With all of our heart. Not all of our public life. It says, love God with your private life. Show God your love there, your commitment there, your dedication there, with all of your heart. That's how God wants us to love Him. Now, just by the way, I'm just adding this. It's kind of funny. If you want to check what's happening in somebody's private life, and we do this as leaders quite a bit, I'm sharing a secret with you. We check two areas: pressure and pajamas. How do they act under pressure? So in other words, car's just been stolen, or they've just broken in, or the boss just treated them unfairly, or a friend stabbed them in the back. Pressure. How do they handle pressure? And then pajamas? How do they handle it when they're at home, when their hair's down, when their guard is down? And we're not pretending, the masks come down, and we just, that's who we are, because that's where we check the true person. Have you ever heard somebody say something that really shocks you and you think, whoa, where did that come from? I'll tell you where it came from. Deep down on the inside. It's been there all along, but it just took a little bit of pressure and it came out. Or they were at home and they just let their guard down and it came out. And so friends of ours were on holiday recently with a pastoral couple. And this couple, they post on social media, and it's oh man, it looks so good. But when they came back from holiday, these friends of ours just said, yo, we saw a different side. When the camera goes on, you know, everything is good and nice. But when the camera is off and they're not posting, man, they're fighting with one another and there's all kinds of nonsense coming out. Why is that? Because the private life is in a mess. And so it shows up in our public life. What about pressure? Listen to what the Bible says. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal. What is that? Pressure, trials, difficulty, which is taking place to test you. So what is busy happening? Sometimes God will allow the fiery ordeal. He'll allow pressure in your life to test you. Not because He wants to know what's on the inside. Oh, He knows. He wants you to know what's on the inside. And so somebody hurts you. You get angry and upset. You know, I want to. I think that's where God's just saying, you see what's on the inside? You need to deal with that stuff. Or you want the thing done a certain way, and it's not done your way. Your spouse does it a different way. or your boss does it a different way, and you get angry and you get upset. I'm done. I don't need this nonsense. I quit. And God says, really? See what's on the inside? You need to deal with that stuff. And so sometimes God allows us to go through these things to test, to show us, let that stuff come out, to show us what's on the inside. Nothing reveals who you are more than pressure or pajamas. All right? And so I think one of our greatest goals should be to be consistent on the stage and at home. That it's the same person that you see here and that my family see at home. I grew up in a home like that, where what I saw my dad on stage and what I saw at home was exactly the same person. There was no hypocrisy. And so the question you and I need to ask ourselves, is there a difference? Is there a difference between what happens in public, what happens in church on a Sunday, and what my family is seeing back home? And just be honest and say, yes, sometimes there is. And then we come before God and we say, God, you've highlighted this area for me today. And from today on, I'm going to work on that thing. I don't want it to be like that anymore. I want to deal with that thing. And so I'm asking you today, don't be casual about what's happening on the inside, whether it's immoral thoughts, whether it's a little bit of unforgiveness towards somebody perhaps, maybe a critical attitude. There's a colleague that you just can't stand, you know, that cow lady, all right? and you're critical, or you're critical toward your boss when there's stuff on the inside that's not right. Deal with that. Don't tolerate that and say, but it's normal, it's normal. Yes, it's normal for the unbeliever, not for us as God's children. And so let me share with you just about how I've been handling it, because what I'm sharing with you now, God has been working in my life probably the last year. And so when I find myself thinking the wrong thoughts, not if I find myself, when. Sometimes I just, my thoughts go and I'm almost embarrassed. I'm thinking, how did I think that? I stop it right there and I say, Lord, please forgive me. I don't want to think thoughts like that. What about your enemies? Anybody here got an enemy? All right? So that person that sticks you in the back. That person that says the right stuff, but they don't do it. They say they're your friend, and they say they'll never do that, and then they do exactly the opposite. That's not a friend. That's an enemy. All right? I have some of those, all right? I know you don't, but I have. And so, you know, when my enemy goes through a difficult time, I know, you know, you come and say, oh, Lord, help them and bless them, Father. You know, they're going through such a hard time. When I see my enemy go through a tough time, I look at it and I go, yeah, krefio yevomos. I know you don't do that. You start fasting for them and all those, you know. And so when I find myself thinking those thoughts, I stop myself right there. Say, God, forgive me. I don't want to think like that. It doesn't honor you. And I know you don't appreciate that. Listen to what Scripture says. In Proverbs 24, do not rejoice or gloat when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad in self-righteousness. So in other words, you know, because I'm so much better than them, in self-righteousness when he stumbles. Or the Lord will see your gloating and be displeased and turn his anger away from them. And so when I find myself thinking those thoughts, I bring it back and I say, God, please forgive me. You see, we need to realize there will be a battle. There'll always be a battle going on the inside between good and evil, between what's right and what's wrong, between the flesh and the spirit. There's this battle warring on the inside. And I wish I could say to you today, if you've served the Lord 10 years, when you get to that mark, it's gone. You won't battle with that thing. If you've served the Lord 25 years, it's not. Because Paul warns us in Galatians chapter 5, and he says, there are these two forces that constantly war on the inside. And if we don't fight it, we give in to selfishness, we give in to unforgiveness, we give in to all that ugliness. And so my question to you this morning is, are you fighting that stuff on the inside? Or are you allowing it to just have its way and just go ahead? You know, are you winning the battle? Or is the flesh busy winning the battle? Because sometimes a little thing on the inside can keep us from big blessings on the outside. Just a little bit of selfishness where God has just been speaking to you, saying, don't be so selfish. Don't always want your way. Just let your spouse have his way. Guys, you can thank me later. I wonder how much higher we'll go. How much further. How much more of God's blessing we'll have in our lives. If we'll just be a little bit more radical about our inner life and what's happening here. And we realize God sees it. And so one of the things I keep reminding myself, and it's helped me and it may help you. My heart is His home. My heart is His home. Because Scripture says, then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. And so I don't know about you, but if He lives on the inside, if He dwells here, I want to keep Him, I want to give Him a spotless, holy, pure residence. I don't want Him to live in amongst all the filthy thoughts and the nonsense and ugliness in my life. Now, I realize our private lives are busy. A lot of thoughts, you know, a lot of plans, a lot of motives going on, a lot of opinions, a lot of even conversations going on the inside. But if you and I, if we can learn to guard our hearts, to guard our inner life, we'll find our outer life, our public life will fall into place. I almost want to say to you, you don't have to work on your public life. Work on your private life. Because when that's right, you'll find the rest is going to fall into place as well. So I want to pray for us this morning. I've been up since 3 o'clock this morning. It almost feels like evening. I want to pray for us. And God's been speaking to you. I know that. Because there's an anointing here. God's presence here this morning. And there's something in your life that you know. You see, God's been working on me for the last year, but He's going to start working on you this morning. Good. Pray for you. And I don't want you to stand this morning. I want you to sit right there. Just bow your head if you don't mind. Just come before the Lord and say, God, You've spoken to me this morning. This is the area, whether it's an attitude, whatever it is, bring it before God. Just come and confess it and just say, Lord, I don't want to live like this. And this thing is not right. And what's been happening on the inside, I realize is not pleasing to You, although it's not affecting other people at this stage. it's affecting me. It's affecting my spiritual life. And I come now and I confess it, Lord. And I ask your forgiveness. And I ask, Lord, that you help me walk in victory in this area. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Bless you.